RomansTV.com.
You can tell we're continuing in our series in Romans. And as Bob announced, Eric is traveling. But that is okay because the gospel continues and we are going to exclaim it. And I want to bring someone up on here whose passion and enthusiasm for the gospel is absolutely contagious. So, will you help me welcome Emily Leverance to the stage?
Hey guys, how's it going? Just need 1 second to set up, sorry. As you guys can see, I'm not my dad. But I have been asked to come and talk about the next section of Romans, which is pretty cool because this specific passage, I've done quite a bit of study in over the years, and this specific section is like near and dear to my heart because it includes like the passage that I always kind of like came back to growing up. Gotta get it up here. But we're gonna be in Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 9 through 21. So if you guys want to flip there in your Bibles right away, we're gonna kind of be walking through this verse by verse today. Yeah, so last week, for those of you guys who are here, my dad talked about spiritual gifts and using them to serve others. And this week we're going to be focused on Romans 12, 9 through 21, which kind of takes a shift to applying the righteousness of God and how we are to look more like Christ and how we are to live as examples and followers of Christ. In this passage, you kind of see this shift or change in tone in Paul's writing, which we'll kind of dig into just a little bit after we read the passage. And just kind of like keeping in mind before we read this too that this is assumed to be Paul writing to a group of believers. And I think that's kind of important when it comes to context in terms of the reading that we are going to be going through today. So Romans 12, 9 through 21, I'm just going to read this whole section first. So starting verse 9, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's just pray for a moment before we dig into this. Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity to come together as a church and just really dig into your word. God, we thank you for your presence and that we can just come and rest at your feet. Lord, I just pray that the words that I'm speaking are yours and that your message, Lord, comes across. And I just pray that, your promise of your words won't go in vain, Lord. And I just pray that each person will come away today with learning something about you and your character and how you want us to live. I just pray for this time, and I pray that our hearts would be open to you and that we would turn our attention to this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so specifically this section, along with others, kind of talks about, before it talked about like being a living sacrifice to God, living out our spiritual gifts, and then this section, the marks of a true Christian, are kind of like all related. So if you are being a living sacrifice, if you are living your life in sacrifice for the Lord, you will naturally use the gifts that God has given you to serve, and then ultimately there's going to be a natural outpour of love towards others as well. So just kind of like keeping that in mind. But what do I mean by this pattern change or shift in tone when Paul's writing? Well, kind of like in the beginning, if you like look back to all the other chapters in Romans, it's very focused on Paul sharing the gospel message, which is justification by grace. Jesus' blood is the basis of our salvation, and then living out our life in faith because of a changed heart. And he tends to write in much more like elaborate, lengthy, like long sentences, and kind of you see this shift or change in this passage here, where these are exhortations or very like short sentences, almost written kind of like as a command, but very like thorough. And his writing style is actually, I found, is very similar to Proverbs in the Old Testament, which is kind of a cool parallel, because it's like he's in here, he's like firing a ton of shots of like wisdom at us, of like, this is how we are to live as followers of Christ. And I just thought that was, yeah, really cool, because it's very different from how he normally writes. So it kind of, for me, when I was first studying this, kind of opened my eyes. I was like, oh, like this is this, like just the sound of like reading this out loud just feels very different than the other chapters in Romans. So I think the first like section, 9 through 13, really talks about relating to those. In the church, he kind of turns a focus on relating to those like in the church, but then also later on talks about relating to those outside the church. And something, as I was also studying this passage, is that like God was like really putting on my heart, is that he calls the righteous and redeemed, or his followers, to uphold a life of like higher morality. And I feel like it's easy to kind of get wrapped up in like this message of like when Paul was sharing earlier in Romans of grace and how there's like endless grace upon grace, which is absolutely true. And we should really take that to heart, but oftentimes I feel like we can miss the whole instruction part that God calls us to live out. Not only does he make the unrighteous righteous, we're good. that was scary. not only does he make the unrighteous righteous, but he gives us instruction on how to live in wisdom, and he upholds us to a life of a high morality, which comes from like our pure, honest, sincere obedience to God. And I also think, yeah, this just so very parallels with Proverbs, because not only is God a God of grace, but you see here that like God is God of wisdom and teaching us how to live out in his love and how to be more like him and live more like him. So we're going to kind of dive through this passage. I'm going to dive through it verse by verse. Sorry, my computer's loading. I was not expecting this. There we go. Okay. So, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. So, like, let's break this down. Like, what does this mean? So, love, we know, is the first and greatest command of all, and Paul kind of reemphasizes that here. Like, we are to let love, our love be genuine, and we are to love others. We are to love with intentional and authentic hearts, and that kind of comes without, like, expecting anything in return. It's kind of like this radical type of love and natural kind of outpour of our hearts that is displayed. And when you think about radical, okay, I'm a kind of a chemistry geek, so I kind of wanted to tie a little bit of that in. But you have a radical that bonds with another compound and reacts, and then they work together, and they and they become like something else. Like there's some other purpose that occurs for this reaction, and kind of like in the same way, I feel like for us, we are to like come together, just like radicals come together with other compounds, and they unite and they grow and they form and they create, like there's this other thing that's created. And in that same vein, I think, yeah, like us as Christians, like we are to come together, unite, and show this outpour of love, and like having this love being genuine, and that is going to display something so much greater. So abhorring means to hate, deny, reject evil. And Paul says that we ought to always be rejecting and hating sinful behaviors. And this doesn't mean rejecting and hating the person who sins, but it means we should reject the behavior of sin. We are to overcome evil, as it says, with sincere and genuine love. So when another person like around you does something like really bad, or like you just know it's very wrong, and I'm like, we all do things that are just wrong. It's obviously sin, and I don't know, sometimes like if I see something, like I get like this like cringy feel, like, oh man, like that's not right. Like you kind of get that like unsettled feeling in your stomach, and like we're all prone to this. And God, I think, like in that same way, kind of wants us to react that way always to sin, of like, oh man, like that's just not, like that's not how we're supposed to live. And he calls us to be so in tuned with his righteousness that we deny every act of sin. And if you love God and your full heart and love your neighbor and fellow Christians, you're naturally going to hate what is evil, because evil kind of stains or sours our like fellowship and relationships with other people. And how can we go and say, I love you and tolerate the sin that destroys and invades those relationships? So anyone who truly loves God also must hate evil. And to hate evil and love others genuinely, we must hold fast to what is good. So that's that last part of verse 9. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, and hold fast to what is good. The next verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Here we are told how to love. Loving with brotherly affection and outdoing one another in showing honor. This means that we prefer each other. And showing our genuine love to one another. You can never show too much honor. I feel like that's just like, I don't know, something that I'm also learning is like, you can never show other people too much honor, you can never love them too much, and you can never do too much for somebody or show them how much you love and care for them. And this type of love that Paul is describing here is not one of thought, but one of action. And that like really hits home for me, because I don't know, just like really like trying to understand like what does it mean to love, like what does Jesus call us into when he commands us to love one another. It's not the feeling that comes and goes. It's not the thought in your head, but it's shown and demonstrated. And it's also not self-consumed. And I am I'm prone to this as well. But it's not, it's love is not, okay, like if I do this for somebody, if I show them love in this way, like what do I get out of it? But it's focused on simply like serving the other person or other people. And it's showing intentionality to one another. And it's without expectation of receiving something in return, but a posture of giving and serving. And we are not to seek honor, but show honor. And this requires a lot of humility, which can be difficult when I feel like we live in this world that's like all focused on like either me or like I want the honor, but God calls us into something different, which requires humility. And it says elsewhere in Romans that we ought to be lowly in spirit, which is kind of towards the end here. But we ought to be lowly in spirit. We ought to be humble and love others. Something that I also heard a while back from somebody was, okay, well, we're called to love people, we're called to live in this way, but what happens, like, when we have differences? What happens when, like, there's so many things that pull us all in different directions just because of, like, opinions and things like that? And it's, I heard it in this light, and I've never heard it this way before, and it just, like, really stuck with me. And it's, God doesn't choose sides, so why should, like, why are we so stuck in this, like, division? And why are we, like, tearing each other apart for things that maybe we think, like, we see a little differently? And God calls us to speak honorably about one another. And I think that, like, God doesn't operate on choosing sides. Like, God is a side, and we are to choose him. And he calls us, to choose him and to love him. Also, when I'm saying, when I'm kind of talking about the, serving one another and, like, doing things for one another to show and demonstrate love, I think it's also important that we remember, like, in terms of receiving the gift of salvation, there's nothing that we can do to earn that gift of salvation. It's not about our work, but that doesn't also mean that we shouldn't do good. Like, God still calls us to do good, and I don't think the New Testament would make sense if that weren't true, and if we completely dismiss the fact that God fully expects his people to walk in righteousness and to try to live in a way that honors and glorifies him after he makes us righteous. It's part of walking in righteousness is doing good and living out these commands as an expression of our love for God. And yes, it can be hard, but I think it's really important to remember when looking at this too, because I feel like sometimes that often gets missed. And something too is, like, if we are not expected to obey God, then all we are left with is a cheap grace. And I don't think that God sent his son to die on the cross and live or and die an excruciating death to just dismiss the whole fact of obedience here. His followers, he wants us and his followers to live a life of attitude of following him and not just the, oh, well, God will forgive me anyways attitude. I don't think he wants that for us. I don't think he calls us into that either. So verse 11, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. I think this part kind of hints at the, this is like the evidence that our faith is alive, and it's expectation that we will get to encounter God. And I think here, when I hear fervent in spirit, the first thing I think of is fire and, like, passion and all and all of that. So fire actually is kind of, I don't know, I feel like very relevant right now because, you know, the Canadian fires are very present and the spread of them, we've experienced some of the fog from that. And also just with the summer, I'm sure many people are probably having bonfires. And I also had a few friends whose, sadly, apartment got caught on fire. So, like, this reoccurring, like, theme of fire has been coming up, and I think, like, here, yeah, that's why I think I thought of that when first reading, like, be fervent in spirit. Like, our being fervent in spirit is displaying, like, this constant, or, like, living out in with passion and not slowing down our service to God, and that can look like a lot of different things for different people, I think, and I think really what Paul's getting here is, like, don't let our flame die, and, like, don't just, like, fizzle out. Like, you accept Christ, and and you hear the gospel message, and you're saved by God's grace, and like, don't just let that sit and do nothing. Like, continue to have that flame inside of you, and that's host, or that's the Holy Spirit is the one who kind of stirs that. And I think, like, when you think of fire too, it spreads fast. It's super destructive. It can be super destructive if it's not controlled, and it can change somebody's life instantly too. And I think in the same way, if our hearts were so on fire, like, imagine like how much like evil would be destroyed. Like, God already won the victory, but how much different our world would look, and our communities would look, and our families would look, if our hearts were so on fire for God that evil would be destroyed and our God would be more and more glorified every single day. And I know this is really hard because we have like all these different seasons of life, the highs and lows, and it can be really difficult and really challenging to live in that way and to not let that fire burn out. But I think Paul is saying like we need to be tuned by the Holy Spirit to keep that fire burning. And to do that, how do we live fervently in spirit? It is kind of answered in this verse 12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. For me, I kind of have a backstory on this passage. This one really like hits home for me because years ago, back in middle school, I was kind of going through this harder time. I was dealing with a lot of different like health issues and things that were unresolved, struggling with a lot of like different disappointments and hurt from like people around me, and just kind of also feeling like the own weight of my sin, and feeling I was young and just like was scared of the unknown and felt confused and doubting things, and like I'm sure that we all do, and kind of just like all bottled up and surfaced at once. And I remember there was one night I was praying, and I was like, okay, Lord, like, here I am, surrendered, like, I just need you, like, please, like, I don't feel you, like, I feel like I'm just, like, in this constant loop of just living life, and I feel like I'm not living in the purpose that you've created me for, and, like, please reveal that to me, and felt very, like, unseen and unheard, and all those things, and I remember, like, God just, I was like, okay, like I'm gonna open up my Bible to like a passage, and I ended up opening to the page where Romans 12 was on, and like I kid you not, this passage like stuck out like a sore thumb. It was like highlighted and bolded and like blown up in 46 font, but like it was really just, you know, like just the page, like there was nothing on it, nothing special, but like that's like how much it stuck out to me. And I remember like God just being like, Emily, like I'm here. Like, I see you, continue to walk with me, persevere, and I deeply love you, and turn your focus off of, like, all these things, and just continue to turn it on to me always, and I will help you. And I remember just, like, yeah, just, like, feeling the, like, it was like God just, like, giving me a hug, and, like, that was one time that I really felt his presence. And I think, like, just, yeah, like hearing and seeing this verse, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. We rejoice in hope because ultimately our treasure and reward is Jesus, and that's that is something that we can hold on to while we live in this really tough tough world. And we serve God rejoicing in hope and not rejoicing in the results of whatever's going on around us. And yeah, our rejoicing with our eyes towards heaven and on God and not on the world. Being patient in affliction when things get hard, when things get tough. This is a patience that requires much endurance and comes from God. And this, the affliction that Paul's talking about here is something that's like seriously, like deeply a deep kind of trouble. And he's saying, like, our troubles should not hinder our ability to continue to love and continue to, like, be in the body of Christ. And he wants, I think God that wants us to continue to live in the way that he's called us to, despite all these afflictions that we may come across, and he'll be faithful through that. And then being faithful in prayer, praying regularly and constantly, praying prayers of thanksgiving, and also being bold in your prayers. That's something, like, I've learned recently too, is just, like, learning how to be bold with your prayers and asking God to do the hard work in our hearts, and being open to whatever that looks like in your life. Also wrestling with God on, like, the tough things and the hard issues that may seem impossible for us to resolve. It's not impossible for God. So if we truly believe that we are praying to God who is all-knowing and all-power and who has the resources and the ability to do anything, like, are we praying? Are we praying faithfully? And then kind of going down, running out a little bit out of time here, but I'll kind of run through some of this and wrap it up in just a few minutes. But verse 13 says, contributing to the needs of the saints and seeking to show hospitality. I think this is Paul's referring to, like, how can we tangibly meet the needs of others to demonstrate love towards them, especially those within the church? God not only calls us to do this outside the church, but also emphasizes the saints here, those within the church. And I know Galatians 6:10 says, let us do good unto men, especially those who are in the household of God. And I think that's, I think that's what Paul is kind of referring to here. And when he says seek to show hospitality, I think he's really getting at, like, pursue people with hospitality. And this is kind of like going back to the idea that love is an action. It's not a feeling or a thought. That's, I think, what Paul is kind of getting at here. And then verses 14 through 21, I'm just going to read it one more time. We don't have time to go through it verse by verse. And I know my dad's going to touch on it a little bit next week as well. So, and I also encourage you guys to, like, go out and read this on your own and study this on your own, because, like, I don't know everything, and go back and read it on your own and see, like, what God's going to teach you through it too. Verse 14 through 21 says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly, never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I think Paul here is just identifying a few more ways of how we can love those around us, and how we are to respond when evil comes, or when sin comes our way, and people when we see it, but when we experience that against us, or I think, like, God still calls us to show honor and to love, and how much more does that say, like, if somebody sins against us, how much more does that say if we respond in genuine love towards them? Paul says that by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. And if we love people, even when they sin against us, he's saying here that there will be something stirring up in their hearts, probably questioning the sin that they committed and leading to repentance. And I think oftentimes too, like, I know there's been times when, like, I sin and somebody shows me love and I'm like, oh man, that was really not good. I think it's also really important to do this with people outside the church too. And God calls us to continue to love despite the sin, reject the sin, not the person. That's all I have for you guys today, because we don't have time really to go through much more. But those are just some of the thoughts and the things that God has been teaching me through this passage as I've been like reading it and studying it. But yeah, again, I encourage you guys to go out and read and study this on your own and see what God teaches you, because there's a lot here and there's so many different things that you can learn from this passage. I encourage you to also go back and look at the rest of chapter 12 too, because it kind of, they all kind of piece together. Again, we are living in sacrifice, then we are going to use our gifts the way that God has gifted us with, and then naturally we're also going to be loving genuinely, and I think those all kind of go hand in hand in how God calls us to live out in this world as followers of Him. And so I'm gonna close a little bit of prayer, and then I think Scott's gonna come up and close the today with announcements. So, God, thank you so much for your word and everything that you have taught us today. God, thank you that we can walk through this verse by verse here in a safe place and just worship you freely, Lord. I pray over each person here that we'd all walk away with something and that you would continue to work and change our hearts, Lord, to be more like you. God, we want to love genuinely, and we want to live a life that honors and glorifies you, but it can be really hard, and we surrender that, and I just, yeah, I pray that you would continue to show us and to teach us how to live like you, God. You say in Ephesians 3, Lord, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.